This year's General Assembly came to an end on Friday, and this year I was not a commissioner, so I popped in and out of Edinburgh for things I might be particularly interested in and things to which I had been invited. I think it's only right to thank those who gave up time last Sunday to be in Edinburgh, either helping on the stall or offering support by saying hello as they passed by. Heart and Soul, as you have heard from me on countless occasions, is an event well worth attending. It's busy with people and the breadth of the church, and you're bound to meet someone you know or learn something about the Church of Scotland that you never knew. Of course, that celebration of church life was mixed with the cold, stark figures placed before commissioners this week, that our church is changing. Congregations are small and ageing, there are less people willing to take on leadership roles, and for the first time, congregational giving has gone down. I wonder what bits you noticed on the television or in newspapers. Perhaps it was the moderator who moved from humour to compassion to careful guidance in difficult debates. Maybe it was some of those difficult debates as the theological forum dared to touch the waters of human sexuality again. Maybe it was the visit of Prince Ghazi bin Mohammed of Jordan as he presented his dystopian view of the future. On the opening day, the convener of the Council of Assembly declared in her speech that in the visits to regions around Scotland, what had been clear was that many people felt that a primary concern should be prayer. Her speech says, "Let us pray. We need to pray. Help us to pray. We must pray." Last year, the Council undertook 16 roadshows across the country to listen to what people in local congregations were saying about the church as they experience it and how they wanted to see the future. We presented the statistics and had conversations about the future. Most of our attendees found these statistics shocking, and indeed they are. They tell in stark numbers a story of a shrinking church, an ageing ministry, and difficulty filling leadership roles. However, the reaction to these numbers was not depression and despair, but rather a challenge and a determination to take action. When the results from all these roadshows were analysed, it was clear that the one issue that had surfaced at every event was the call to pray. This was a timely reminder that whatever we might like to do in the future, what really matters is what God is calling us to do and to be. Within that quote, there are two things that you're maybe wondering, where can I find the information on that? The Council is the Council of Assembly, and if you go to the Church of Scotland web page and you look under the General Assembly, you will be able to find the Council of Assembly's full report, and you will also be able to find the statistics. And it's worth having a look at. You should be interested. You're part of a national church. The other thing that I've said within there is mentioned these roadshows. You will remember that on a number of occasions towards the end of last year, I told you that roadshows were happening in Edinburgh and Dundee and elsewhere in Scotland, and you were encouraged, if you wanted to go. And I hope that maybe one or two of you, or probably more, did go. I suspect that some met this call to prayer with a certain amount of cynicism. In fact, I don't suspect, I know, because somebody came to talk to me in the gardens on Sunday. Cynicism, because is that not what we already do as a church? As Christian people, we respond better to the commands and invitations of Jesus. And while we recognise the importance of prayer personally, publicly, prayer is something that ministers or worship leaders do. And we struggle to move beyond the personal pleas and plights. We are continually discovering and renewing our understanding of the purpose and intention of prayer in our lives. On Ascension Sunday, our readings draw us into an interlude in the story of the followers of Jesus. The stories we hear this morning happen just over a month apart. The passage from John's Gospel is part of the final conversation that Jesus has with the disciples. Judas has left the room to betray Jesus in chapter 13, and from chapter 14 to the end of chapter 17, Jesus prepares the disciples for the events that lie ahead in the next few days and for life without him. That section closes with the prayer we heard today. In the book of Acts, the ascension happens 40 days after the resurrection. It's a story that moves from presence to leaving to absence. Again, the story finishes with prayer. I'll come back to the interlude for the disciples at the ascension in a moment, but at the table in the Gospel of John, Jesus' prayer serves as an interlude. It's a break from the activity of Jesus' life, the stories, the healing, the recognition of the outcast, the rile against oppressive systems, and a pause before the storm of betrayal, humiliation, and crucifixion. We only hear a short part of the prayer, which takes the whole chapter. Like the Lord's Prayer found in the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew and Luke, it offers a structure around which to frame our own prayers. Through the prayer, we meet John's conviction that the cross is a moment of glory in the life and death of Jesus Christ. In this self-giving act, we encounter the fullness of God's love for humanity, prepared to bear the humiliation and degradation of the outcast and lost. When we might frame our prayers around requests, complaints, praise and beseeching, Jesus' prayer offers an understanding of who he is in relationship to God and his expectations of God through the activity of prayer. The theme of God's glory being revealed in the life of Christ runs through the whole of the prayer, and the possibility of that being demonstrated within the life of the followers is found in the words where Jesus transfers the responsibility he has borne to become the responsibility of the followers. It declares the entwined relationship of God with Christ, Christ with humanity, and humanity with God. The prayer is an interlude that begins the transition from disciple, the one who follows, to apostle, the one who tells the story. Returning to the book of Acts, we hear a story that Luke tells first in the Gospel as the end to the story of Jesus' earthly life. In the beginning of the book of Acts, it sets the scene for the transformation of the disciples from bumbling buffoons to diligent missionaries. It's a short, slightly funny story with three scenes. Verses 6 to 8 have Jesus promise the Spirit will be with them. Verses 9 to 11 tell of Jesus' ascension and the disciples standing watching the sky. Verses 12 to 14 name the disciples and tell us that they set about praying for what the future might hold. There's a transition from presence to ascension to absence. The story is an interlude between the life of the disciples with Jesus to the life of the disciples without Jesus. We know liturgically that we're heading towards Pentecost. It's next Sunday. And so we know that this interlude, this absence, might not be permanent. Instead, they wait for the presence of the Holy Spirit to guide them, to allow God to be present through them, to allow them to be apostles rather than disciples. Prayer forms a part of this interlude. Unlike Jesus' prayer, we have no record of the kind of prayers that were said. What we perhaps do learn is that prayer forms a significant moment when people are moving from one way of living to another. We also learn that prayer is public, shared by the people of God, and powerful in forming character and practice. So often, when people experience difficulties, as good Christian people, we tell them our thoughts and prayers are with them. Not all of us feel brave enough to sit and share those prayers in their presence, allowing them to encounter the value their life holds in the minds and hands of another. And yet this week, as families had their lives devastated by the bomb attacks in both Manchester and Egypt, people were united in prayer. Prayer gently offered in the interlude of tragedy, spoken that it might encompass the pain felt by the bereaved and anxious, bring comfort and reassurance, and then offer the presence of God in all our earthly experiences. As a church, nationally and locally, we are sitting in the interlude. We are transitioning from the security of the traditional church we have known to the uncertain way of being the church of the future. The command of love reminds us of our purpose, and yet the shaping of that purpose may well come in prayer. Prayers gently said that embody who God is to each of us, that uphold the life of those around us, and inspire a vision of what Christ's church can be. Of course, we should never think that prayer is a sedentary practice, because it also acts as a reminder of the tasks that we should be doing in Christ's name. The little spontaneous moments when we embody the presence of Christ for those we meet. I'm going to finish with a poem by Jackie Kay, the Scottish Macker. The poem in itself is about somebody disappearing, but I'm hoping that you might sense the transition with it, the interlude, the changing pattern of time. Jackie Kay was one of the high points, or one of the many high points of this week at the General Assembly. The poem's called The Road You Take, Unfinished. I hope that you hear the interlude. Who ever knew you could grieve the living so deeply that you just down the road and off to the left could feel so very far away? And on a day like today, the past we shared feels flimsy, like a dress bereft after a party, when the body had climbed out of it and it is left lying carelessly on the bedroom floor. Or worse, it feels like it didn't happen at all, not the way we thought it fit, and maybe I didn't know you, not really. Not the way I thought I did. You have left this big hole like a manhole in a dark childhood street. The stank pulled up, strange things crawling way down underneath. I'm afraid of chucking new people down the hole, of forgetting you and all the things we ever said, of rushing down the slick new road, slipping on the bend. I didn't ever think, did you, that it would so neatly end? Amen.